Okay, would you please turn to Matthew chapter 5. My daughter enlightened me this morning that I spelt my title wrong. Who would know there's three ways to spell rain? I thought there was the wet rain, and then there's the other rain. But there's two other sorts of rain. There's the rain as a king, and there's the rain as a is on a horse. So I got it wrong. It's the horse rain, not the king rain. Who has hold of the reins? Got that now? If you're sort of into education and you take notice of those sort of things. The spell check didn't fix that up. Either the one on the computer or Kirrily. If Windows or Word doesn't pick it up, Kirrily will. But anyway, failed, yeah. Anyway, how about we read Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. We read, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for another time. We can come and worship you. You are a God who deserves our worship every day. And we thank you that we have a special day such as this where we can put aside other things and, Lord, make time to come and show you and this world that you are important to us. And I pray that we would be the ones that are truly blessed as we allow your Spirit to minister to us through the preaching of your word and the fellowship that we can have around your word and with each other. And so, Lord, we ask that this time, that as we open your word, you will be the one who works in us. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are looking at meekness tonight. And meekness is something that is needed in every aspect of life. We need to be meek towards each other, the Word of God tells us. We know that we are to be meek when we're in leadership. Meekness is important there. Meekness is important if you're not in leadership as well. There is a need for meekness in every area of our life. But tonight I want to concentrate on one area where meekness is required, and that is meekness toward God. We need to be meek towards our Heavenly Father as well. So the first thing we need to just shore up is the concept of meekness. And the easiest expression of the meaning would be power under control. That would be the best way to describe it. Meekness is having the power to do something, but choosing not to for the benefit of others. Maybe having the authority to demand something, but choosing not to because you know it's not best for somebody else. Having the opportunity maybe to hurt somebody, but choosing not to because you know that's not the right thing. You have the opportunity, you have the power to do it, but you choose not to. I heard explain an example of meekness, and I've never lost that thought, is when you go to the circus and the elephant trainer gets an elephant and he gets someone to put their head on a little stool, and then the elephant gets that big foot of his and lowers it down and just places it just on the man's head. And that elephant has all the power to squish his head. But he controls that power and just rests above it. You know, that is a picture of meekness. Power under control. Now, when it comes to meekness toward God, the best picture, I believe, or a very good picture, would be the broken Brumby or the broken stallion. You know, a wild Brumby is free. It's wild to run wherever it wants to run, do as it wants to do. It has no restraints and no control whatsoever. And in that unbroken state, it is of no value really to anybody, particularly maybe the landowner where it's running around. That we'll call him the farmer, could be the station, whatever, but we'll call him the farmer. But while that wild stallion runs around his land, it's of no value to him. In fact, it can be a menace, be dangerous to others there as well. It has lots of power, but it's out of control. And it's doing as it pleases. But if that farmer is able to catch that animal, break its spirit, and get it to submit to his will, so that that wild or was wild Brumby will actually do what he wants and go where he wants and so on, well then all of a sudden that power that the Brumby had is placed under the control of his master. And now that Brumby can be used in a wonderful way, in various ways on the land. And instead of being a menace, instead of being dangerous, now it's an absolute blessing to the farmer. And brethren, that's the attitude God is looking for in all of us. He wants us to allow him to control us. We by nature want to run wild. We by nature want to be free to do as we want. It's my life. I can live how I want to. That's our natural attitude. But God wants us to bring ourselves under submission to his control, where we, so to speak, hand over the reins to him and say, you decide where I go. You decide what happens. I will place my power or will under your control. That's what meekness is really like when it comes to being blessed as a meek person before God himself. So the question is, how meek are you? How meek are you towards God? If you won't be meek towards God, I'll guarantee you won't be meek towards anyone really. If you won't submit to God's authority over you, you won't submit to God's other authorities that he has placed in your life as well. So are you meek before God? You know, for example, when you look into the God's word, and do you enjoy the bits you like and ignore the rest, the bits you don't like? If there are things that are happening in your life that you don't think are fair, do you get upset with God and say, I'm not going to go the way that you're leading me here. I'm going to break free and run as I choose. How do you respond to God? Well, a meek person will accept what God is doing in their life and submit to his will and his plans, whatever they may be, while a person who isn't meek towards God will want to, will not just want to, will break free when they're not happy with what's happening. How meek are you toward God? Well, tonight I'm not so much wanting to ask you if you are meek towards God. I want to help you to be meeker towards God. Because I know that that's what I need. I know there's obviously, I've seen in my life, a degree of meekness, but that is a daily thing as well, and it's something you want to become meeker and meeker in, where you submit more and more to God's authority in your life. And tonight, what I would like to do is look at two things that we need to accept and believe wholeheartedly. And if we do accept them and believe them wholeheartedly, it's going to make it far easier to submit to God's authority in your life and be that meek person that you should. It's going to be simple to say, God, here are the reins. You're in control. You just lead me as you wish. You know, the first thing that makes it easy to submit or to be meek towards God is to accept and truly believe that He is a good God. That's where it all begins. It's very hard to submit to somebody who you don't think cares for you or doesn't have your best interest at heart. Because that's a scary thing. If I submit to this person and their leadership, what are they going to do with that? That's scary if you aren't totally convinced that they truly love you. But do you believe God's word? Now have a look in Psalm 31, would you? This is what God says, God's word says, Psalm 31, verse 19. Verse 19, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Have a look at chapter 34 and verse 8. "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." They go together. When you understand that God's good, and so you're willing to trust Him, there are blessings that come your way because of that. But the first thing is having a complete understanding or willingness to accept that He is good. Often we fail to accept this, and so we don't act accordingly. You know, for example, we know the verse. Most of us know and love the verse, "All things work together for good to them that love God." What a wonderful verse. But what happens when things happen that don't seem so good? That don't seem to, when you look, where is this going to lead? I can't see how any good is going to come out of this. What's God doing? The first reaction is to think that God maybe isn't as good as what I first thought. And we start to think that He's not being fair or He's made a mistake. And our response is we want to buck against God. I'm not going that way, I'm going this way. Now, if you've ever ridden a horse, I have ridden a few in the past. I don't intend to ride any again, but it's a very scary thing when a horse doesn't want to go the direction you want it to go. Very scary. I know Michelle Finn over on the camp site, we had the Black Knight and one of those camp silly things, and I was going to be the Black Knight. I was going to dress up and ride the horse in. And so she went to see how well I can handle a horse. And that was very scary. It was only walking and I nearly fell off, and we decided we needed to get somebody else. All right? Horses are going to be very scary if they don't go the way you want them to go. And often that's the way we act. They don't trust us that we're leading them in a good way, so they want to go opposite. And we act like that with God. We don't trust Him that He wants Him to, that He's leading us in the way that is best for us. Yet if we want to be meek towards God, we have to be convinced that He is good and that He knows what's best. Every ingredient of our life that comes into our life, He has allowed it for a purpose. It may not have been His first or second plan for us, but He still has allowed it. You know, if I was to say to you, after the service, come back to your place and I'm going to give you something beautiful to eat. You know, oh, that's nice. And you saw me and I gave you a little plate of butter, gave you a little plate of flour, and then I have some raw eggs over here, and I have some chocolate, and I have some cocoa, and I have some hot water and some milk. And you look at all those ingredients and you think, what? That's not very nice at all. You'd probably just take the chocolate, maybe the milk, and just, you can leave the rest out. You pick and choose the bits you want to enjoy. But if I got Linda then to mix it all together and do what she does with her chocolate fudge cake and apply the heat, I tell you what, you're going to have something really nice. But if you say, leave out that, I don't really want that either, just give me this and that, it's not going to be what it should be. You need all the ingredients to be able to have that beautiful chocolate cake. And often God's dealings with us don't always seem like the sweet sugar. Yet we want to pick and choose. God, I want that. Okay, I'll accept. I don't want that over there, and I don't really, that doesn't seem very nice over there. I just want to pick and choose what ingredients you're going to give me to work all things together for good, so that I may be like Christ. That's what it really is about. Yet you need all of it. And God knows exactly what you need. And the Lord has a plan. And although we don't see the whole picture, although when we just look at one ingredient, it doesn't make sense and it looks awful, yet when we put it all together and you see the end result, that's when you realize God knew what he was doing. We just generally just want sugar, don't we? Just give me the sugar. Don't worry about the flour, and I certainly don't want the heat. Now, we need it all if we want to be what God wants us to be. And that's why he needs us to trust him. Believe that he is good. And once you're convinced about that, you can trust him with these things. You know, a lot of the pain that we have to endure is not because God wanted that to be in our life. It's just that we wouldn't submit to him. So it's a natural thing that comes because of our lack of trust. You know, I have an example. I don't think it's offensive. It was only when I was a little boy, probably about Benny's age or somewhere. But I had this terrible memory that I had to go to the doctor to get a needle in my bottom. I can't even remember what it was for. It was probably for, I don't know what it was for. But I still have this terrible memory of being on that bed and Mum's trying to get me to stay still, and the doctor's trying to tell me it won't be long, and I didn't trust him, and I didn't really believe he knew what he was doing, and I was sure it was going to hurt, so I wiggled and wiggled, and while it was in my bottom, all right, I wiggled so much I snapped the needle off. Oh, yeah. And then he had to get these little pliers and push down and try and dig it out and get the needle out and then give me another one. Because he never got to do what he was meant to do. I'm telling you. Now, was that his first plan? No. My lack of control in trusting him and staying still, all right, power under control, because of that lack of that, well, it ended up hurting more than what it should have. The Lord has a plan for us. And he has certain ingredients. And he just says, be meek, controlled, and trust me. Now, when we squirm and jump around, sometimes we ended up causing more damage than what he really intended. And it ends up hurting. Sometimes our pain has got nothing to do with God. God's will, in the sense, it has to do with our unwillingness to be meek towards him. But when we have a firm conviction that God knows best and he loves us and we accept that, we are on a long way to being meek as we should. So that's the first thing, accept that God loves us and truly believe it. Second thing, though, is to accept that he is the Lord. You know, that sounds simple, but it's so hard to actually live everyday life. You know, it may be a surprise to some, but we aren't actually equals with God. We're not in an equal partnership. When you become a Christian, you don't say, well, God, let's work together and see where we're going to go with this. All right? We aren't on an equal plane when it comes to that. He is the Lord. If you call Jesus my Lord Jesus Christ, that means you're saying that he is the master, the ruler, your owner. That's what it means. That's what the word Lord actually meant, that one there, where it says the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the word that the slaves would use to refer to their owner. Do you really accept that? You know, if I'm correct, slaves didn't actually have a say in what they did during the day. They just got told what to go and do. They didn't even get a pat on the back at the end of the day. They just were allowed to live and have some food. They didn't actually negotiate with their master. They weren't equals. You know, we're told in Matthew 28, you know, in Matthew 28 verse 18, this is a verse that little section of God's word that people use to, you know, to go out and witness, and it is. But it says there in Matthew 28 verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Get that? All power is given unto me. He didn't say, all power is given unto us, referring to the disciples. You know, we've got all the power. No, he says, I've got all the power. I have all the authority. And that's because he's the creator. He's the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the Master of masters. He's the one that has the say. And that may come as a bit of a shock for us who live in a democratic society. You know, we like to think that our leaders are our servants. That's why we call them public servants. And we like to choose who are going to be our leaders. They can rule over us and serve us. And if we're not happy with their service, we'll kick them out and we'll get somebody else. Now, that's nice to be able to live in a country like that, but that's not how the universe runs. Now, the stars didn't get to choose where they were placed. Christ placed them where he wanted them. We don't get to choose what order, summer, winter, spring and autumn go. God chooses that. And he chooses when it comes. We don't get to choose when it rains. He's the one that decides that. This universe operates the way our Creator wants it to work. And that's because he's the Lord. And if we acknowledge that, we will be far better off. Even if we don't acknowledge it, he is still the Lord. And you know, authority is a very big issue for everybody. We were talking about that in Sunday school this morning. Parents, you don't have to be worried anymore. We've sorted it out with the teenagers. They are going to be the most submissive teenagers you've ever found. It was amazing. They all agreed. So we've sorted that problem out with the teenagers. We just got to get us adults sorted out as well. Because we know teenagers can have a problem with God-given authority in the home and also, say, at school. But us adults, we have a problem with God-given authority in our governments, you know, in our countries with the police and the government. Even within the church, we have a problem with the God-given authorities as well. We have a problem with authority just as much as teenagers. That's why I explained to them, if they can learn to submit in the home, they're going to be able to find life far easier in every other avenue of their life. Which is good, because the harder it is, as I was saying to them, the harder it is to submit to your parents because they make up silly rules, that just is preparing you for when you go into the workforce and you have to submit to silly rules or go somewhere else where there's silly rules. You've already been prepared for it. If you come to Golden City and you have to submit to some silly rules here, well, then you're prepared for it if you did the right thing and learn it at home. But meekness toward God and acceptance of authority and his authority in particular can be a very hard thing for some. And that's why we aren't as meek as what we ought to. And it comes down to, one, not trusting that God loves us, and secondly, for some reason, not accepting that he deserves to be the authority. You know, I read, I can't remember if it was Alexander the Great or Napoleon, someone was asking him, why was he so successful? And he's not a good leader, obviously, but he said, I'll show you why. And he got his soldiers to line up and got them to start marching towards a cliff edge. And they began to march until they actually got to the end, and without batting an eyelid. They just walked over the edge and dropped to their death. And they just kept on going until he told them to stop. And he said, that's why I was able to conquer so much. I had people that would do what I said and trust my authority regardless. Now, I think that's stupid. But they obviously didn't have a loving master in that sense. But they acknowledged his authority to that much that they weren't even going to question him if it meant their life. Yet when we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of all the universe, how often do we question his commands and doubt what he's doing in our life as though we have rights to do that? How often do you find yourself saying to the Lord, this isn't fair, God? I don't think you realize who the Lord is when you say that. I shouldn't have to go through this, Lord. I think you forget that you're the slave. Why do I have to do this? You forgot who the master is. You know, when you balk at his commands, instead of just accepting them, you have to realize you don't see him as the master as you should. If you want to be meek towards God, you must be convinced he loves you and that he is the master. And then once you're convinced of that, then start living like it. You know, it's much harder to live like a servant than to just think of yourself as a servant. To live like a servant, it actually requires surrender. Not just this airy-fairy thought of it, but actual surrender. It requires an act of meekness on a daily basis, where you're not questioning the Lord. Why have you allowed this to happen? Why do I have to do this? Why aren't you doing this for me? But you accept that he knows best. You know, we're told in 1 Corinthians, very well known passage, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? What about that little statement there, ye are not your own? That's what God says about us. Ye are not your own. What you have is not yours. That is, when you can really say that and mean it, that's when you know that you are meek towards God. I am not my own. My body isn't mine. It's his. My eyes, my ears, what I listen to, my hands and what I do, my whole body is God's, and I will only use it for his glory. My possessions, my children, my time, it's all God's. You may see God as the master, but do you actually live like the slave? That's the real issue. Well, if you want to come under his control, just like the broken colt needs to, and stop running and living as you please, and be meek toward him, and allow him to take the reins, well, then you must come to that point where you say, all I am, all I have, is yours. I give it to you. You do with it as you please. Now, that's a scary thing for a lot of people. I know it took me a long time to get to that stage. And I know you have to revisit that with every next hurdle in life. All I am is yours. All I have is yours. My body, my dreams, my time, my family, my possessions, it's all yours. I accept that you're the master. And I'm only simply the servant. That's what the Lord wants. And when we are at that stage, that's when Jesus said we can be blessed. Blessed are the meek in spirit. The blessing comes when we are at that place. because as he goes on to say, if you are meek, you shall inherit the earth. Why are we blessed when we're meek? Because we will inherit the earth. Now, what does that mean? Well, I could tell you in a sentence, or I could spend 30 minutes next time telling you about it. I'll wait next time, and I'll spend 30 minutes telling you about it. But that's where the blessing is. We get to inherit the earth. So we'll leave it there, and I'll pray. Father, we want to thank you that it is easy to surrender to you and submit ourselves to you. We don't have to fear that you will take advantage of that power and authority over us, because we know that you are meek as well. You will not use your authority and power in any way that would be of a disadvantage to us. And Lord, you want us to be meek toward you and towards each other in the same way. I pray that you may help us to be that, and show us where we are bucking against you, dear Lord, when we ought to surrender. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.